final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Thursday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Let's just keep this train rolling down the tracks. Mark Dominic, former NFL GM, started the third hour. You just heard Master P and his son Hersey Miller, who just committed to TSU, also in the third hour. Now we start the final hour with the one and only Petey, Brent Peterson. He's a Hall of Famer on our show, that is for sure. And he now joins us. Brent, how you doing?
Doing good. How you guys all doing?
How was your Frosty last night?
You know what? I didn't go because you got to win. You get it with four, but you got to win the game. So I have to wait till tomorrow night, I guess.
Oh, so I did not know there was a caveat with that. So it's got to come in a Predators victory.
Yeah, you got to win the game.
Okay. What was your observation? Obviously, you've been a part of the games like that where, unfortunately, you know, it looks like you're in control and they get away, in this case, late, whether you were on the bench coaching or whether you were playing. Predators in control midway through the third period. They're up 4-1. Everything looks really, really good, Brent. And then the next thing you know, it's a tie game.
Well, I just thought they just quit for the 2 minutes. As soon as we scored the fourth goal, early in the right away in the first shift of the third period, we just stopped playing hard and we stopped taking the body. We were swinging on our checks and they let guys go. They let them get a 2-on-1 and, you know, give and go to people. And they had a couple other chances that used to make some great saves on before that. And then they got 3 goals in a matter of a couple of minutes. And then as we settled down a little bit. We had some chance. I just watched the game over again this morning. It was just on Bally's here, and it was. We still had some chances later on, but you know, when you in this league, the league's so good that everybody could do things like that, and Chicago Blackhawks had the firepower to do that, especially when we let them do that. I blame it mostly on us because we quit working, we couldn't skate, and then as soon as they got 4-4, we realized, oh, we better get going, and they're fine again. But the three, they had already done the damage, and then he would have liked to have that last shot back from the outside up. I think it was, I can't remember who scored for them, but in the overtime, he needed to stay up a little bit longer. So, but he's playing great, and the team's playing very well, and it's just too bad they had the one little 3 minute lapse.
What? So how do you do that? Because John Hines tried to call the timeout. When they got it within 4-3, you're thinking that's a really good timeout. Settle everybody down. Yeah. You're still up. And like I said, you know, it's only natural, right? When you think, heck, we're all watching and we're all thinking the same thing. Like, this one's in the bag. And so you don't think that, you know, once again, we've tried to tell people, athletes are not robots. They are human beings too. And it's natural just to kind of let your guard down and think that you're in control too. How do you try to – what's the best way you tried as a coach to try to snap them back into it and say, hey, guys, this game is not over. You know, you can't let this get away from us. Like, how did you approach that?
There's nothing you can say or even do to wake a team up that's playing well for the last month and, you know, up 4-1 with some great goals and then just try to get them back because you could see it coming right away. We started letting them get out of their own end easily. They kept coming through the neutral zone with speed. And they started taking the play over with. And as soon as they got that one goal to make it 4-2, we'd be still two up. As soon as they got that goal, I looked over at my wife and said, we're going to lose this game if we don't get going here. And sure enough, they went bang, 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 and they got one in overtime. That's all they needed. So it was good we got a point because they did have a chance at the very end there. At least we got one point. But, you know, it's hard. There's nothing a coach could do. You could talk on the bench. You could talk in between games. We got to be more secure. Anyway, we just have to make the right decisions. You got to have good puck decisions because, you know, we were trying back passes when we were up 4-1. We were going down behind their net. And you got to know the score. If it's 4-1 to the other team, you sure you want to put everything on them. But you can't do that when you're up 4-1. You got to know the game. You got to know the situation in the game, and you got to do the right things on the ice.
The penalty kill got off to such a rough start to the season. The first month, it was. Last in the league, but really during this last month and a half or so, it has been outstanding. They had a huge 4-minute penalty kill after Chicago had tied it up, and Chicago was very good on the power play. In this run, where they've won all these games in this window, like I said, over the last 5 weeks or so. What have you seen that's been working really well on the penalty kill and why they've had so much success?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, your goalie's always your best penalty killer, and Yusik's been fantastic at stopping rebounds and that kind of thing. But they're doing a little bit of better job up front, up top, where teams score from the point. So they've been rotating guys. When the guy goes down the wall, our guys chase him down the wall, and then he makes a pass back to the point. And we bring the guy from the other side across where he's got no angle. And they've done some technical things really well. And it's really hard to start off a year with a bunch of new players and new coaches for the special teams. And the power play is the thing that's bothering me right now. The penalty kill has been fantastic. That four-minute penalty last night, they could have scored easily, got two goals, and won the game then. And they ended up winning anyways. But at least it gave us a point. But the penalty kill has been fantastic. They win draws, and they get it down the ice right away. That's number one thing. And they got to rely on UC. UC's got to make some saves on the power play. He's been terrific for a good month now doing those kind of things. And I just think that the entire team has played very well, but the special teams were so bad early. Now the penalty killing is not allowing any goals, and we're allowing one and two goals a game instead of three and four and five goals a game. We're not going to win the 5-4 games, and we need the 2-1 games to win that way, and we should have. So done again last night. Now it makes tomorrow night even more important.
We're talking to Brent Peterson, Predators analyst. And Brent, you mentioned the power play. They have Tolvanen back, so that's a big piece. Hopefully they'll get Forsberg back before too long here. I'm not sure I don't think he'll be in there tomorrow. But Brent, let's just take Tolvanen. And if you're game planning as the guy in charge of the penalty kill, and you're trying to scout Tolvanen, tell us about all of the options that he brings, because he's certainly been a game changer for them when he's been on.
Well, the thing about it is when you see our D-men walking the line, you know that good things are going to happen. Like, they stand there, the guy can get on the right angle and keep you out of where you want to go. You got to walk down in the middle of the ice, but nobody comes to you, shoot it, and you have two go in the net. Second option is over to Forsberg on the right side. He comes and curls up and either shoots it or goes cross ice or to Tolvanen or down low to probably Duchesne, and then out to so they got the low plays, they got high plays, they got all kinds of different options. But you have to go and execute it. So I can tell you, you know, you can do this, you can do that, you got to go and execute it. And we just haven't since Tolvanen has been out, we have about one goal, and he got one last night, but it wasn't on the power play. But I think that the power play is it's very, very mental. Like, we didn't get set up last night. We didn't get this set up ever. We haven't been set up for a long time. Just getting set up. And when we do, we make shots at the pads and no screen. And so the power play, I think we're 5-5 and penalty comes in great. The power play has really struggled a lot lately. We're going to need it to score a goal through a game here coming up when we play Carolina, those kind of teams that are so good on the power play, so good on the penalty. So much pressure on the penalty gun from those guys. But tomorrow night, you got to get set up. I see even Chicago now. They're looking at the film. And they're going, geez, these guys are really good. They're going to have a tough time when people pressure them. Well, sure enough, last night they were pressuring them right down ice, and they almost scored a couple goals, short handed goals. So we just have to be a lot more. They have all kinds of breakouts. We got to get breakout. So we got to win the draw first because we get back to the point and start over. Start with the puck. Then you got to break out. You got to do all those things right. You got to do so many things right before you can score a goal. So, and we just haven't done the right things, and we haven't executed it at all. And so, I think it goes in stretches. It goes in different. You know, when you get three goals in two games, and then you get no goals in five games, and then you get three goals in five games, and you get no goals. It's up and down, and it's got to be more consistent. Number one, number two is they got to shoot the puck. When you're in the middle of the ice and you got nobody in front of you, you shoot the puck and you go get the rebound. We've been trying to move it around because we made some nice plays in Tolvanen when he was here, and he does shoot pretty well. He's a left shot playing the other side, which is not a one-timer, but he turns and shoots it so well. But other teams are going to scout that, so you have to have other options. So, if I'm a penalty killing coach on the other team, I'm saying, D-man, you step out on Tolvanen even before he gets that puck. We'll leave somebody else down low because, you know, he wants to shoot the puck. He's a shooter. I'd be all over him all night long.
We love stories about guys like who are undrafted free agents. I remember you would talk a lot about Scott Nichol when he was coming into the league and you know what it took for him to make it. You helped identify Vern Fidler back in the day. I'm curious what you see about Tanner Jeannot, another undrafted guy. And of all people, it was Scott Nichol. I remember telling me a couple years ago, he said, keep an eye on this guy. You know, this guy's got something. You know, it's taken him a while. You don't get handed anything when you're undrafted. But he's made a good first impression here. What do you think?
I think this is great. I think the whole fourth line is a so-called fourth line. The guy was on TV last night, and I was listening to him saying, that national fourth line is the best fourth line he's seen in a long time. And to me, they're not even a fourth line. They're second or third line some nights. But Olivier and Trennan, and we all know Sid is a pretty good two-way player, but those guys in Jeannot, they play great. They've held on to the puck. They made the other team take it off them. They don't throw it away. They win the battles on the boards. They go to the net. They shoot the puck. They're not scared to shoot it. And they're doing everything like you're supposed to be doing it, and that's why they're playing so well. And they're good on cycles. They're good on puck protection. And that's really what you need in a playoff game. And they're big guys who can skate. If you're a little guy and you can't skate, can't play. If you're a little guy and you're tremendously talented, you can play. But these are big guys that can play, and they're not just fourth liners just to fill in. They play well, and they deserve the ice time they've gotten. And I love all four of them. I think they're all great players for role players. They're great players for us.
Brent, back in the days when you would have the meeting, even if you didn't go on the ice, I don't know if they're going on the ice today or not. If they do, it probably won't be for very long. But this team's been sailing along, right? They've had a lot of positive things. They feel good about how they're playing. And then they had that hiccup last night that we've been talking about. They haven't had a lot of those here recently. So what would be your mindset coming in today at the meeting, knowing that you got to get back out there and play the same team tomorrow?
I'd show them two clips of them scoring goals, going to the net, and I'd show them two clips of them letting their guy go to the net. So it's good and bad. Not good and bad, but just good and something they can improve upon. And I get the power play, get out of a meeting for 5 minutes, and then get out of there, and we get ready for tomorrow night. And the most important period of the year will be the first period tomorrow night, because if they come out and just roll over the Hawks, things will be all forgotten, but the Hawks will be ready to play, and they'll be the way we played those 3 minutes. We let them go walk D to D and give and goes and all those kind of wide open nets and three men behind the net and two not covering anybody. So I think tomorrow night will be a real important key. Will be the start of the first period and how they go. So far they've done very well. I've really been impressed with the way the kids have played all year. They played very well, and in fact, I texted David one night. I said, "Play the kids all the time. Don't play anybody else. Just play the kids." he laughed at me. So everybody laughs at me. So that's the way it goes.
Oh, we're never.
We're laughing with you.
Yes,
I heard that before.
We're talking to Brent Peterson, longtime Predators associate coach, and you talk about the kids and how they've developed. What does that say about Carl Taylor and his staff in Milwaukee and what they've been able to do over the last few years in developing these guys to get them ready for this moment in the NHL?
Yeah, they've done a great job. And that's only been the last couple of years that we've had it. Scotty Nichols been in charge of putting people into as the general manager of Milwaukee and getting the right people set up for the farm club that can play in the NHL someday and help out. And I mean, Tolvanen's a completely different player. And then you got all of the fourth line, Trennan and Olivier and Jeannot and all these guys and Carrier and they've done a terrific job of teaching these guys how to play the game right. They're big and they can skate, and that's what I love. I love when you get big size guys for playoffs. Because little guys, they can be okay in the playoffs, but boy, when it gets down to a grind, you want a big guy that's 6'2", that can 200 pounds, that can instead of a 5'5" guy or 5'6" guy. You could have one or two of those, like our Arvey's a great little player. You can't have six or seven guys like that. You get too much banging and crashing in the playoffs, and their bodies just can't handle it. So I like the big, strong, fast. And you still got to be able to play. And you still got to be fast. And you still got to be able to skate. But big guys are better for playoffs. And, LA Kings used to have that kind of. They're kind of slower, but I just like the big guys that can skate, and then that makes it easier on your team.
Brent, what have you seen out of Matt Duchesne since he's been back the last three games? I know he scored one, but what have you seen overall out of him?
Same thing I saw Joy. Joy and Duchesne have both been maligned here in town here about, you know, making so much money and not doing the job. But you know what? They've tried very hard. I've watched it. They work hard. The puck luck is unbelievable. I mean, Duchesne went in when it was 4-4 last night. Yeah, in overtime, and he made a backhand, shift to his backhand. He's in on goal all alone, and the guy makes a good save on him. He just can't buy a goal. And so I think they're trying to do things, but I think we're past the point of, for me, they're past the point of saying, hey, listen, just working hard doesn't count anymore. We need some definite production from you somehow. And if you don't get it, you can put in somebody else who's doing the job. But look at Yarncroft's got 12 goals. I think he's just barely passed. That's how much we miss Forsberg. Forsberg, he's been out for, what, 2 months, and he still was our league goal scorer until last night when Nurjani got his 12th. But I just think that Duchesne's been good, but he hasn't been great. And I think we need him to be great, and he's been okay. And same with Joey. Joey's been really well. He's worked hard, and just nothing's gone in for him. So, you sort of feel bad for the guy because he's tried hard, but We really need some production for both of them, or we won't go anywhere.
Do you feel like that even though Luke Cunningham has battled, you know, some injuries, but now he's starting to come into form and be the player that David Poile and the Predators traded for?
I think so. I think he's a good little player, and he goes hard and he goes to the net and he scores goals. He's not afraid of anybody. And I think the line has really, really meshed together to be a real strong line, and they've done a real good job at, you know, Yarny and the little guy in the middle there, 64, he's a pretty good little player boy. He comes back, he bangs in the corners for a little guy, he's not that small, I guess. But I just finished ranting about being bigger, but I'd have this guy on my team anytime. Yarny, all those guys, they score goals, they do penalty killing for you, they can play roles, they can play up and down. They've done a great job of keeping us together during this time when we've had so many injuries. They've just done a great job for us.
Are we going to be able to play golf this year and help a great cause?
We're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to do it. September 13th is going to be the date. So we're going to try to do it again like we did last year. And if they allow us to dinner. If not, we'll have to wait for another year for a comedian to come in. But we're working on getting a comedian right now, and we love to have everybody come out and have a good time with us. And the comedians have been fantastic. Chaz scores. He's got his comedians all the time for us. And he's looking for one right now. And we're just going to wait to see what the rules and the things, how things go on down in Davidson County there, where we're at Bridgestone Arena. And we'll have a good golf tournament for Petey's party. And we'll have a good time again.
Love it. Love to hear that. Brent, thank you for the visit. Great to hear your voice. And we'll chat with you down the road, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it. Take care.
That is Brent Peterson. That is good news.
Thanks, Petey.
You got to love the energy, right? He's in there. He's a lot of detail in what
Petey's
he said there about a lot
of
little things.
If somebody told you that they needed his energy up, then you'd probably look at him side-eyed and be like, you don't know Brent Peterson, do you? What do you mean? Let's pick the energy up. Come on.
I think I've told you this story before, guys. It was a preseason game probably 3-4 years ago. And I was, usually I'm sitting down in the barrel house with Darren, but for whatever reason, I went upstairs and was watching from Media Row, and I was sitting next to Brent. And by the end of the game, my arm was probably about to fall off because every time Yakov Trenin hit the ice, he's like, watch Trenin, watch him. I like this kid. Like, he was just ranting and raving about him, but it cracked me up because it was just every time I'd feel him grab my arm, like, watch him. Go watch him. Look how he goes after the puck.
Well, that line was good again last night.
I was going to say, if you'd have been around him last night when he blew up Murphy, I'm sure Brent was grabbing Tammy's arm or somebody's arm because he blew Murphy up behind the net. Let me talk to you. We appreciate Brent Peterson for joining us. I want to talk to you right now about the big weekend that is in store for UFC 261. Yes, Masvidal and Usman. Yeah, they put on a show last time when they stepped in the octagon, and they plan on putting on a show again this weekend. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you right in the center of all this weekend's title fight. That's right. Pick either main event fighter to win UFC 261. There's a title on the line. There is. This is going to be a lot of fun and a lot of talking between these two. They do not like each other. And DraftKings Sportsbook is going to give you 26-1 odds. Let me say that again. You're just going to bet $5 on either fighter to win. And if they walk away with the belt, you cash $130. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to put your money where your mouth is. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that code 1025GAME. And when you sign up, turn $5 into $130. If the title contender of your choice wins UFC 261. That code again, 1025GAME. Remember, this is for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. All right, it's time for you to get ready to text in. Get those fingers going. Get the exercises going. Up, down, up, down. You know we've teamed up with T-Mobile. It's time to give away a hockey home game party. Chance for you to enter and a chance for you to win. A Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 years of age or older to enter. You're going to text in the word Smashville. Smashville.
Smashville.
615-737-1025, 737-1025. That is our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Text in the word Smashville. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Good stuff there from Brent Peterson. Boy, we have had some great guests here on the show this entire week. Really, really good stuff. I was looking at, we had you talk about your mock draft. We had a really good conversation with Mark Dominic about the draft. We also went to Indy and talked to Bob Kravitz about the Colts draft. I was pulling up Fantasy Pros, and they have done a mock draft with all of their experts. Yes. And they have the Colts taken a tackle from Texas. Okay. Samuel Cosme, is that I say his last name? Now I was trying to look in our lads. I don't remember seeing him, so I was a little surprised to see.
That's not a name that I know. Popped up
that's,
a lot.
That's why I sit there and I kind of looked at it and I'm like, huh. And I don't even see
Peter Schrager's draft is scrolling across the bottom of the screen on NFL Network right now. Mm-hmm. And they have the Colts going Ojulari. So going linebacker.
I don't even see where our lads has him. So I'd have to look into. Oh, they've got him in the third round.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay, but that's not why I brought this up. So I was curious to see who they had the Titans taking at 22. So while our lads and Fantasy Pros are way off on what they think about Samuel Cosme, the tackle from Texas, they've got him at our lads has him as a deep third round pick. They've got him going in the first round. That I don't think I've ever seen a margin like that. But ironically, with that being said, they're on the same page with the Titans pick.
Oh, really?
They both have the Titans taking the same player, Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver from Minnesota.
Hmm. Interesting.
I know.
I'm looking at right now, so CBS did a they did a consensus mock draft, which they basically compiled 13 different mocks and put it all together. They do not have Bateman in the first round.
Really?
Like that. No. They have the Titans taking Greg Newsome, the cornerback from Northwestern. Christian Darrisaw goes to Indy.
By the way, Fantasy Pros, they have Newsome going the very next pick to the Jets.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see. You know, obviously you have the run on receivers with Chase and Davante Adams, but Jalen Waddle. Jalen, they actually have Waddle going to the Giants, and then the next pick, Devontae Smith, wide receiver going pick 12 to the Eagles. But yeah, I find that interesting. And then later on, Terrace Marshall goes pick 27 to Baltimore. He's the next receiver.
Hmm.
So, but I have seen Bateman linked to the Titans. I mean, I've certainly seen that a few times.
Okay, so that means that there's more services outside of Our Lads and Fantasy Pros that have. So does that mean that's turning into the consensus pick? Rashad Bateman?
I don't know if I'm going to go that far to say that. I mean, because
well, tell
I mean,
me
how many,
some
how many
outlets
mocks
you've
are...
seen. Well, I know there's so many, but how many outlets have you seen multiple outlets with the same pick for the Titans?
Yeah,
and,
well,
and who's
that
name?
That's the first time. Yeah, I'm looking through different ones right now to try and find another Rashad Bateman with the Titans. What's so crazy about this draft is there are some players that I just see all over the place. Like, some are first round, some are not. Like, this one I'm looking at now, Pro Football Network, has Davis Mills going in the first round as another quarterback. Here we go. Pro Football Network, Rashad Bateman to the Titans.
The Pro Football Network?
Yep. That's I believe that's what Trey Wingo is involved in, though.
Okay.
They have Ojulari going 21st overall to the Colts, Bateman to the Titans, and then the Jets take Tevin Jenkins, offensive tackle from Oklahoma State, with the next pick. This one's a little weird because there's some names that have not been in most mocks. So
I see some comparisons to Rashad Bateman with Keenan Allen and Stevie Johnson.
I think all of this is so compelling. I try to think back through historically and how many times people honed in on the right guy, right? And how many times, for all the research that we do and the time we spend talking about who the first pick's going to be, how little we actually get him. Like, how much did we talk about Isaiah Wilson last year? I don't remember talking about him at all before they picked him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, last year was a little different. The year before was Jeffrey Simmons. I don't think, you know, the draft was in Nashville. I don't remember talking much about Jeffrey Simmons as a potential first pick for Nashville. I mean, for the Titans. Fair?
Yeah.
Well, I think everybody knew about the injury, so I think that always, you know, you never
right.
know what's the mindset of a team coming off when the guy's got an ACL injury. So you
right.
never know how far they're going to fall.
He was a very unique pick.
We
for
knew
a couple
of Jeffrey
reasons.
Simmons, and we knew yeah. he was going to be, like, if he didn't have that injury, he would have been top 10. There's no doubt.
No doubt.
Everybody knew that, but I think where the confusion lies.
I don't think we knew he was going to fall that far.
Right. Everybody wasn't sure how far would he fall. It's like the kid, the linebacker from Notre Dame that went to your Cowboys.
Yeah.
Everybody knew if he didn't have that injury in the bowl game, he would have been another.
Jalen Smith.
Yeah, Jalen
and he would have been a top 10 pick. But everybody wasn't sure, okay, so where does he fall? And where did they get him? Second round?
Yeah, he was a second round.
Second round pick. And everybody was like, he's top 10 pick. But he tore up his knee in the bowl game.
But I'm just saying, year by year, the first pick. Like Mariota, we kind of knew was going to be the first pick. They picked so high. They traded out of the spot the following year. You know, I don't know how much Jack Conklin was on my radar. I don't remember if that was one that everybody was talking about. Hey, Conklin would be a fit. My point is, like, all of these mock drafts.
They traded back up. They needed a tackle.
They traded back up.
Yes, I know. I know. But I'm just saying, in general, how often does the mock drafts really hone in on the guy, like a consensus with the local media too, with all the research we do and the people we ask, comparing it to mock drafts, all the things we do every year? how often do we center in on a couple of names and get it right? And how often does the team surprise us?
Well, I think the one thing you have to keep in mind is you have to know every mock is different, right? Some mocks,
sure,
they rank them the way they see them. Like they say, this is how this should play out. The way we look at them, this is basically our draft board. This player. And some are, you know, they are trying to match up what the team needs and what they think the team is going to take, right? What the team at that draft position is going to take. Not all mocks are like that. Some, they yeah, literally go by what they think they really are. In other words, yeah, I know everybody's projecting this person in the first round, but we've actually got them, you know, pick 58 late in the second round because that's where they belong rather than late first round.
And I tend to pay attention to those. I mean, like, our lads, Dan's
a former
scout.
Our lads, yes. That's what they
you
do.
Know? I mean, so I tend to pay attention to scouts. You know, WalterFootball.com is another one that's been around for a while. They have the Titans taking Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle at Oklahoma State at 22. And they say in the little blurb, this is far from ideal as the Titans rely so much on pounding the rock with their – or they say they lost Jack Conklin, Isaiah Wilson, Dennis Kelly in a span of two off seasons. This is far from ideal as they rely so much on pounding the rock with Derrick Henry. They screwed up with Wilson last year, but I think they'll try to solve their right tackle issue this April. And they had originally had the Titans taking Tyson Campbell, cornerback. But, I mean, to your point, Willie, you just never know. I mean, there's going to be, especially with a draft like this one where there's a lot of talent, that you're going to have different ones, and it's just going to be hard to actually nail the pick. Some will, some won't, when it comes to the mocks.
I don't think too many of us were predicting right tackle with first pick last year, were we?
Predicting, no, but no, I remember I had them going corner. I thought that they would go corner, and they ended up doing that in the second round.
Yep.
And were we thinking interior D line the year before as glaring need?
That one's different. Yeah, I mean, I think it was a need, but that one was different because he just fell there, and it was you would have been dumb to pass on him at that point.
Well, I don't know about that. I think there were some people that just had him not on the board, right? Isn't that fair to say? With all that was going on, the two things, the issue that he had when he was young, which was the isolated incident, but of course being on tape and everything, I think there's some teams that probably shied away, and then there was the injury on top of that. It was a complicated thing, and obviously the Titans made the right choice on that and a very difficult call, right? But Were there people thinking he would go even further down? Like, I don't know that he was sliding down the board as much as it was, where is somebody going to pick this guy?
Right.
But that was hard to predict. I'm just trying to get a feel for how easy is it, I think we know it's hard. How tough is it to predict the first pick? Forget about the second, third, fourth. You know, we can talk all day. We know the needs and everything, but just even trying to get the first pick, unless you're trying to predict the top five picks, you know, first pick at 22, that's a tough one to try to predict. Like, I remember Kendall Wright, the year that they picked him. Mm-hmm. I don't think I saw that one coming. I was thinking defensive lineman. I remember that year.
Kenny Britt.
Taylor Lewan, was that, you know?
Yes. I went on several shows around the country, and they did, you know, their mock draft, and they would bring in somebody to represent and pick for that team. And that year, I mean, I got lucky, but that's who I took. I took Taylor Lewan for all the – I did a couple shows, and that's who I had as the Titans taking.
Chance Warmack, was that fairly predictable, unpredictable? You know, the Mike Munchak thing, I think, made it somewhat on the radar. But a lot of people wouldn't take a guard that high.
And by the way, when I posted that here, I know that there were some outlets here that said there's no way they're taking Taylor Lewan. I'll never forget that.
Not surprising.
There's no chance that happens. That's a terrible pick. Okay. I said, okay. I just made a pick, man. That's
As we're sitting here talking, I just saw Gentry Estes of the Tennessean posted a mock that he just did. He did two of them. He did where he was trading up, one he traded back, and the one he traded up to 16 to get J.C. Horn out of South Carolina. Ends up taking Tommy Trimble, tight end of Notre Dame that Dan has brought up. Took him at 85, and then the one where he stood pat here, and then traded the second round pick. Takes Greg Newsome at 22. This one is a head scratcher, Gentry. Davis Mills, quarterback out of Stanford with pick 74. I don't see that happening. Got Dio though on there from Vanderbilt. Hmm.
So interesting.
Love Mox.
Willie, why don't you tell us about loans?
Well, I don't know much about loans in general, but I can tell you about Loan Pronto.
They know about loans.
They do know about loans. Loan Pronto wants you, in fact, to forget everything you know about getting a home loan because they have really done a great job of changing the process for the better. Loan Pronto is here. They're new, they're faster, they're easier. It's a less expensive way to get a new home loan or refinance your current mortgage. So Loan Pronto promises lower rates and an all-digital process. And that's going to save you time, and I'm telling you, it's a sound financial move and peace of mind. No junk fees. In fact, if you refinance your home right now, you can skip your next two house payments altogether. Now, that is really big going into these next couple months. That is always a nice relief. So if your current mortgage rate is over 3%, you can refinance now, snag a better rate, and Loan Pronto can cover all of the closing costs. Sound good? Call now to learn more about the zero-cost refi. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. They're also getting cash out. If you call Loan Pronto, you can use this as an option. You get cash out of your home's equity, 30, 40, 50 grand in some cases. You can use that money to reinvest in a home improvement project you've been wanting to do. Or you can get cash out and wipe out those credit card debts that you might have. A lot of options for you. So if any of this applies to you, you want to call right now, 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Ask about that zero-cost refi, equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. No cash refi, not available on all loans.
Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be at Coleman Tractor in White House, 3613 Highway 31 West. Our show will be broadcasting live there from 10 to 2. You can stop by and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville Predators game. So keep that in mind tomorrow. Coleman Tractor in White House, 3613 Highway 31 West. I want to ask you guys what you thought of, and I thought we were going to get into this with Elliot Friedman today from Sportsnet. He was off today. We forgot about that last week. He told us he was going to be off. So for people that tuned in, we appreciate Brent Peterson for filling in for Elliot. But I know a lot of you have grown accustomed to hearing Elliot on Thursdays at 1. But I was going to ask him about this, but I guess we'll have to wait. But what did you make of Vegas Golden Knights goalie Robin Lehner, his comments that he, I think it was Wednesday after a practice, talking about the vaccine, and I mean, he had some pretty strong comments about this whole process, and talking about the league having a more relaxed version of current protocols once players were vaccinated. He said most of the Vegas Golden Knights players have been vaccinated, but the league hasn't followed through. He said, to be promised something's going to change, to take a vaccine. He said, not all people were comfortable, I think, including himself, on what to do with that. What, I'm sure you guys have seen the comments by now. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I just I saw that, and he was talking to The Athletic, Bill Daly, saying no such promises were ever made, and talking about that. So getting into a, you know, he said type of deal. But I, you know what? I give props to a player for being being honest, because that's how you get things to change.
Sure.
But that's how you get change. I mean, because people just think that they can do stuff and it's just going to go under the radar and you're not going to pay attention to it. And then, you know, you got one brave guy and Robin Leonard that's willing to come out and say, hey, now, you know, hey, wait a minute. These are some things that were supposed to happen and it's not. And so, you know, you call him out and things get changed. And that's, so I applaud him for that he's willing to speak out and be honest.
I don't know much about, I don't know all the details of what he said, but Robin Leonard is an interesting guy in that he's been through a lot, right? He went through a lot of issues before he all of a sudden rebounded to become an incredible goalie here in these last couple of years. You know, he's revived his career, but if I remember, like he said at one point here, he took the vaccine for his mental health,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
I think he's had a lot of mental health challenges, right? Didn't
sure.
he go through a big?
I think that's correct. Yes.
Yep.
And the mental part of this, you know, I think we can all relate. You know, is it hits people in different ways. It's a challenge, right? Even if you're not even aware of it, for a lot of the time, right? It's been a big strain on all of us. So that's not to be taken lightly. So I don't know. You know, I can't pretend to know what all has gone on behind the scenes. It would make sense, though, that you would think. And there are some players, that, you know, I think what we saw in baseball, there have been some players that have had, you know, some temporary side effects of taking the vaccine where, you know, you got to be out for a day or two, you know, before you
right.
feel right. You know, obviously, long term, it's worth, you know, being down for a day if you know that. Especially the mental sense that you get of being through it, you know, being safer, feeling safer, that's well worth it, at least to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a process. Well, everybody's going through it, right? Everybody gets
sure.
the shot different days, and your whole team, you know, maybe half of your team's vaccinated. Maybe another team has only got a third. Maybe another team's almost fully vaccinated by now. So there's a lot going on.
I got the shot 2 days ago, and my arm no longer hurts. But it did hurt for about a day.
Lauren got her second round, and it messed her up for a couple days, for sure. There's no doubt. And other people have said that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Like you said, if you get to go through that for a couple days to moving forward, I think everybody would think it's worth it. So if you guys want to turn on MLB Network, you can watch the Tigers and the Pirates. I mean, you can get that fever.
Doesn't get much better than that.
Wow.
I mean, that's honestly.
Riveting.
You're talking about dropping everything.
Thank God.
Tigers, Pirates in the seventh. You're
I think
not going
I'm
going to
go play
this
the
finish.
Video game.
Tied at two. I mean, you're not going to want to. Who knows how this one's going to turn out? Our show is over, and we must say goodbye. Boy, a lot of fun today. Really, really good stuff on the program. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us first thing tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to wrap up the week. We'll talk to you then. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next.
All right, Stillman, let's hear you backpedal out of this one.
This hour of Darren Donick and Chase brought to you by Trane. Get a great deal this spring on a new Trane heating and cooling system. At Trane, they test so it runs. Visit traneinfo.com to find your local dealer and learn more. It's hard to stop a train.